Good morning and welcome to Coffee at KYUK. Just as things look the darkest, with the day shortening and cases of COVID-19 piling up, making our region the sickest in the state, a bit of light shows up on the horizon. The first batch of COVID vaccine could arrive in Bethel this week. This is Coffee at KYUK, and this morning, Dr. Ellen Hodges, the Chief of Staff at the Yukon-Kuskokwim Health Corporation, talks to KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur about what will happen next.
Dr. Hodges, when the vaccine arrives in the YK Delta, who's going to get it first?
First will be our nursing home residents in our elders' home, employees who work there and care for those people, and then healthcare providers, and first responders.
Does that mean police, fire department? Who is that?
EMS. So it'll be Bethel Fire. Again, we're waiting for final guidance from the Alaska Allocation Committee. But my understanding is law enforcement is going to be wave 1B, and EMS refers to volunteer, paid and unpaid workers who respond to emergencies.
And is it known yet at this time how many doses that YKHC should be receiving?
We expect to receive about 1,000 doses of the Pfizer vaccine, which is the ultra-cold vaccine. And the state of Alaska currently expects to meet all 1A needs with a Pfizer vaccine. The Moderna vaccine, of course, is a week behind the Pfizer vaccine at the FDA. No, we didn't hear about the Pfizer allocation until a couple of days ago, so I expect it'll be very close to the time of allocation.
And the Pfizer vaccine, with it having to be kept at such a cold temperature of negative 94 degrees Fahrenheit, does YKHC have the freezers to be able to do that? Is it borrowing the freezers from somewhere?
We're very, very grateful to the University of Alaska Fairbanks, who has loaned us an ultra-cold freezer. So the vaccine comes from the manufacturer in a shipper that is specially designed to ship and maintain the temperature of minus 80 centigrade. Once it arrives at its destination, as long as all of the temperature controls are acceptable inside that shipper package, we can unpack it and put it in our minus 80 degrees centigrade freezer. We're very grateful for that. It was being used for research purposes at KUC, and they reached out to us and offered it to us.
And that will be big enough to hold all the first 1,000 doses?
Correct.
And with 1,000 doses, that will cover all the people in the first tier. So that means that all the healthcare providers and residents at the long-term care facility will be covered when that 1,000 doses?
Correct. Well, we're not entirely certain the exact final list of people who will be getting it, but we think that it will cover our entire 1A wave, including first responders, residents of our elders' home and staff, and our healthcare providers who have direct exposure to patients with COVID, potentially with COVID.
And does that include the health aides in the villages around the region?
Yes, that includes our health aides, office assistants, and the people who assist with patient care in our village clinics.
Is there any sort of challenges with the ultra-cold storage that's required shipping that to villages?
The vaccine won't be shipped to the villages. Once the vaccine is taken out of the ultra-cold freezer, it must be used within 5 days. Further, after it's diluted in the vial, it has to be used up within 2 hours. So the plan for our villages is to charter planes and fly from village to village and vaccinate those individuals who are in that 1A tier on the runway, basically, and then move on to the next village and so on and so forth.
So they'll line up on the runway, kind of bare their arm in the winter weather, get inoculated, and you'll move on to the next village?
That's the plan. We're calling it Project Togo.
Project Togo? Is that a reference I should know that I don't?
Yes. That's the lead sled dog on the vaccine, the serum run to Nome.
Oh, well, I saw the animated movie, but I think it might have had a different name.
See, Balto gets a lot of false credit. It's actually Togo who was the lead dog.
Perfect. One thing about these vaccinations, like other vaccines, is they require multiple doses. So they require the 2 doses. How will YKHC ensure that people are getting the first dose and then at least with the Pfizer vaccine, they need it at 21 days later?
There's lots of vaccines that require multiple doses. Hepatitis B comes to mind, hepatitis A, and most of the childhood vaccinations require multiple doses. So we have sort of a mechanism in place already for that. So we'll use that same framework to remind people to get that second dose. The state or the feds will be providing a vaccine information card for people to take home, and we're going to be providing people with a card that will give them the date they need the second dose. We want that second dose to be as close as possible to 21 days. But as you know, weather may play a part in that. So if the weather's terrible on the day that they're supposed to get their 21-day dose when we're going back out to the villages, so we'll have to handle that as we get to it. But we've been informed that it needs to be as close as possible to that 21-day window for Pfizer and the 28-day window for Moderna.
And will it be similar to how it's being conducted the first time? First responders on the runway, get the shot, move on.
Correct. Yes.
Is there a time frame of when the critical mass that YKHC's aiming for will be vaccinated within the region?
We don't know much about the distribution beyond that initial allocation. So I really can't say. We're hoping that we're going to continue to get monthly allocations. So, for example, we'll get our 1B allocation in January and hopefully shortly thereafter 1C. And then 2 is the general public. That's the general public. Anyone who wants to get vaccinated can. So by timelines provided, that's anywhere from 15 to 25 weeks after this initial allocation. So certainly we're hoping as soon as possible to get as many people vaccinated as we can.
And what percentage of the population is YKHC hoping to vaccinate in the Delta?
100%. Same as my flu vaccine goal. We'd like to get as close to 100% as we can. That's what we'd like. We'll take any amount of people who would like to get vaccinated. We understand that this is a new vaccine and this is a new pandemic. So we understand that there'll be a lot of legwork to be doing to educate people and talk about safety and efficacy. But I would like 100% of the citizens of this region to get the vaccine.
And do people who've already tested positive for COVID, do they also need to get this vaccine?
Although we haven't yet reviewed the final data, we think vaccination will provide a more robust immunity and that previously infected individuals should get the vaccine. Natural immunity probably wanes in 3 to 6 months, and it's my understanding from preliminary data that the vaccine immunity does not wane that quickly.
The 1,000 doses of Pfizer vaccine that are expected to be delivered, will that 1,000 doses be providing both the first and second doses for that first tier of people or just the first doses?
It'll be the first doses. We'll be getting our second shipment about 2 weeks after the first to do the second dose. So that's the number of individuals we can vaccinate.
Is YKHC receiving any help from other organizations such as public health nursing to do these vaccinations?
YKHC is taking the lead in vaccination for our region. Correct. Now, I will say that public health nursing has always helped. Like when we have our mass dispensing exercises, there's always a public health nurse there assisting us in those vaccinations. And I fully anticipate that once we get to the point of doing mass vaccination exercises, especially in Bethel, that public health nursing will be there.
As of now, do you know the most current case rate data for the two census areas in the region?
So for the whole region, we're at about 122 cases per 100,000. The city of Bethel is 355 cases per 100,000. So still very high and the highest in the state and some of the highest rates in the nation.
So are we seeing a decline at this point?
For the city of Bethel, we've been holding steady between 300 and 350 for the past few weeks. For the entire region, I believe it has come down a little, but it's still very high.
Is YKHC receiving any sort of state or federal help with the rates being so high in this region?
Yeah, so from the state, we have received multiple shipments of Vinex antigen cards. This is a rapid test that can take place at the side of the patient. And we've been using this for testing in the villages where because of weather and because of time and distance, it's been difficult to send out tests rapidly turned around. So we received a large shipment from the state of Alaska for that. From the federal government, we had a disaster medical assistance team, a DMAT team here for 2 weeks. They provided us with 6 nurses, 1 physician, a safety officer, and a commander. They helped take care of patients and provide expanded medical support. The Alaska Office of Arctic Investigations, which is a division of the CDC, has sent us a nurse to provide testing support. They came for our mass testing exercise at the beginning of November, and then intermittently they've been loaning us a nurse to provide support, especially for our village-based testing. So we're grateful for all of that support.
With these rapid tests that are being sent from the state and then being sent to the villages. When did that happen?
We started getting shipments of those in October, and we started shipping them out then, at the end of October, out to the villages. So we started really fully implementing them in November. But one of the challenges when working with them is their warm chain, so they can't get frozen. It's hard to ship them because they have to be kept warm.
It's astounding with these numbers of some communities. Chivac comes to mind first, where at least a third of the population tested positive for COVID, and then the rates you're seeing are so high where it seems that possibly about a quarter of residents in some communities have tested positive. Does YKHC have any sort of data on so many communities, at least a quarter of their population or a third of their population or 20% has tested positive for COVID? I'm trying to get an idea of scale across communities.
So we had about four villages that we have documented infection rates that exceed a quarter of the village. It's important to remember that not everyone who has COVID gets tested in those villages, so the true positive rate is probably higher in many of those villages. That's one thing I would take into account. So there's probably more disease burden than the actual numbers reflect. And that's nationwide and statewide. That's not just a Bethel or a YK Delta issue. So the numbers are pretty high in certain select villages, but I suspect it's probably higher in many other villages. The disease burden is just tremendous here. And we are still adding active cases, and we're still adding communities with community-based transmission. So I think it's just a sign of how severe the outbreak is in our region, the number of cases that we have and the number of cases we keep adding every day.
Nationally, I know it is one of the highest rates in the country, but I'm hoping to be able to communicate how we exist within this national context.
Sure, absolutely. So the way we put our or track our cases per 100,000 is we do a rolling 14-day average. And the reason why we did this is because that's how the state tracks it, and that's how the nation tracks it. So if you look at the Kusilvac and the Bethel census area, I mean, we're just very, very high in the nation. There's a few counties that approach our rate. The last time I looked at it, there were some counties in North Dakota and South Dakota who are being very heavily hit, who have rates that approach ours, especially the city of Bethel rate, but not very many. And we are the highest area in Alaska. I think their case rate for us yesterday was 183 per 100,000. That was my recollection of it. And their data lags a little because they enter our tests as they get them. And, you know, they're busy. It's a big project to get all those lab results entered, both the positive and the negative lab results entered. But it's high. So we're the highest in the state as far as our entire region. And then the city of Bethel, it's really impressive how high it is.
Are there any anticipated challenges with distributing this vaccine?
So we're really hoping for good weather. But one of the advantages that we have is we're able to store it here. So before we thought perhaps we would only have, you know, a very limited amount of time, that kind of 5-day window to distribute all the vaccine. But now that we can store it, we can wait until we know the weather's good, and then we can remove it from the storage and distribute it that way. That just gives us a lot more breathing room. YKHC has been distributing vaccine and other critical medical items across this region for decades. So we have a lot of experience in trying to get things, especially things that are temperature sensitive, in and out of villages for decades. So we're going to use those same lessons learned for all of those to try to get this done as quickly and efficiently as possible.
The state has issued an announcement saying that this antibody treatment, I don't know if I'm pronouncing it, monoclonal antibody treatment, is now in Alaska. Will YKHC have that treatment?
Yeah, we have that treatment, and we have given it to multiple patients. It's called bamlanivimab. That's the brand name of it, and it's a monoclonal antibody. It's for outpatient treatment, so people can't be admitted to the hospital or require oxygen. And they have to be in Bethel because it's an IV infusion, and it has to be given in an area where the personnel can respond to like a bad allergic reaction, because that's one of the side effects of that medication. And we have been using it on patients who are appropriate for that since we got it.
And did that just recently arrive?
We've had it for a couple of weeks. So yes, that's recent.
And because people have to be in Bethel to receive that treatment, are people mm-hmm. from villages coming into Bethel to receive that treatment?
No, because you also have to be COVID positive, and people who are COVID positive can't travel on commercial airlines. We medevac those people with severe COVID who need oxygen or other support, but we don't send in or medevac people who have the kind of outpatient version of this that would need it, if that makes sense.
And has YKHC had conversations with tribes in the region to encourage their tribal members to get this vaccine?
Oh, yes. We've spent a lot of time working with tribes and trying to educate them, get as many of their tribal members as possible vaccinated. And I will say that overall, the response has been very positive and people asking a lot of good questions about when it's available and how do we know it's safe and how do we know how effective it is. So we've been working with them now for weeks to try to sort of lay the groundwork for when we actually have enough vaccine to vaccinate our population widely.
Lastly, Dr. Hodges, you've been on the front lines of this pandemic in the region since it began. What's your reaction to finally having a vaccine on the horizon?
It's hard to describe the relief I felt when I heard that we would actually receive an allocation. Probably, and I'm not going to count my chickens until they're hatched, so until it's stored safely in our freezer, but just a tremendous amount of relief. It is still going to be a long winter, and this is still just one tool in the many tools that we need to combat this deadly and very contagious disease. We still have to wear masks. We still have to wash our hands. We still have to keep our social circles small. But I see a little bit of light on the horizon. I think Dr. Zink, our chief medical officer, described it a little bit like the light coming back after a long winter, where you may not notice that things are getting a little bit easier, but as more and more people get vaccinated and more vaccine is available, it's sort of like how the light comes back gradually. And hopefully by next summer, and certainly a year from now, we'll have an entirely different conversation about COVID in our region.
Appropriate that the arrival of the vaccine could coincide nicely with the winter solstice.
Yes, I agree. Very appropriate.
Anything else, Dr. Hodges?
No, I'm just reminding people to take care of each other, check in on each other with their mental health. I'm worried a little bit about how long this is sort of going on and how tired people are getting with these restrictions that are in place. So just checking in with your family and friends virtually to make sure everyone's their mental health is good. Holidays are really hard and we're strongly discouraging anyone from getting together for holidays. So just making sure that people take the time to check in on each other. So getting some fresh air and exercise out of doors, eating a healthy diet, getting plenty of sleep, those kinds of things just are really especially important this time of year as we get through what will undoubtedly be a very long winter with COVID.
That was YKHC's Chief of Staff, Dr. Ellen Hodges, speaking with KYUK's Anna Rose MacArthur. This is Coffee at KYUK.